know that there are two animals that talk in the Torah. One is, of course, Atono Shel Bilam, Bilam's ass. I don't know exactly what an ass is, but it sounds like, you know, unimportant. And of course, the snake who spoke to Chava and explained to her what God really, really meant. It's hard to compare these two events, although everybody agrees that they are extraordinary. It's not reasonable that animals talk and give information that is of great significance. But it happened in those two cases, so I'd like to just take a closer look at those two events. As far as Bilam's ass is concerned, we know that the Chachamim declared, you know, that there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbat, and one of them, it's in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right? One of them was Pi Ha'aton, the talking ass. So that is because there was in the minds of Chazal, there was this kind of problem about whether God does things against nature. There's a problem with miracles. Like, how do you define? Is there a limit to a miracle? Is there a limit to the way God would do a miracle? So, Pi Haton was created Erev Shabbat Ben Hashmashot to sort of tell us that it wasn't extraordinary, it wasn't out of the ordinary, but that in fact this Aton was waiting for its, you know, walk on position in the Broadway play called Bilam and the Jewish people, right? So that it wasn't a miracle that the Aton was able to talk. It was rather that he was created that way, but he was just waiting for his spot in history. But really, the problem is not so much could God or did God make such a miracle, but why? Why couldn't Bilam get this information, whatever the information is, in a more direct way? Why couldn't the angel who is standing in the way of Bilam tell Bilam what it is he's supposed to be doing instead of having a play between the donkey and the malach and the place, and it all becomes kind of difficult to understand. And I don't know what the obvious, if there is an obvious answer to these questions, but I think it'll help us to learn the psukim with Rashi. Right, we'll learn the psukim with Rashi. Vayakum Bilam baboker vayechavosh et atono vayelech im sarei Moav. So Bilam got up. Remember that first Bilam, they came to Bilam and they said, do it. And he said, I can't do it. They said, do it. And he said, I can only do what God tells me to do. But we understand that Bilam was angling for the job. He wanted the job. He wanted to get whatever rewards Balak had promised him. And he was not going to give in. He was not going to give in on that. So he got up. Ayakum Bilam. Are you looking for someone?
No.
Are you in the right place?
Yes.
So take a sheet. You want to go to study?
Yeah.
You want to study Chumash? You're in the right place. Okay. So in any event, Vayakum Bilam baboker. Bilam got up in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and Vayelchim Sarei Moav. Rashi says, I never could understand this Rashi, but Rashi says, Mikan Shasinam Mikalkelet Et Ashura. Right? Hate ruins everything. If you really hate, you're going to act in a hateful way, even in minor things. Shechavashu ba'atzmo, he saddled his donkey by himself. And then he says, because the Rashi doesn't want you to ask the question, he says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rasha, Kvar kidemcha Avraham avihem. Rasha, you know, he says to Bilam, you Rasha, this trick was already done by Avraham avihem, sheneemar, Eishkem Avraham baboker, vayechaboshet chamoro. So what do we say? What do we say about Avraham? That he wanted to do the mitzvah. He wanted to do the mitzvah of listening to God. And therefore he got up early in the morning and he saddled his chamor. What do we say about Bilam? That because he wanted to contradict God, he was a rasha, he wanted to work against God, so he got up early in the morning. So you see that according to Rashi, love and hate produce the same result. Right? Love is Avram Avinu, love God and love what God told him to do, and hate is Bilam. But it looks the same. It looks the same. Maybe Rashi is trying to teach us that you can't always tell. You have to look beyond. If a person is enthusiastic about what he's doing, that's not enough. You have to see carefully what he was enthusiastic about. Okay. Pasuk Chav Bet. Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu, vayitetzev malach Hashem baderech v'satan lo. So here, this is something we don't understand exactly. At least when I say we don't understand it, it's only humility on my part. What I mean is that I don't understand it. That God seems to play a secondary role. Right? What about Yichar Af Hashem Elokim? You know, when God got angry at Bnei Yisrael, that was it. You know, Bnei Yisrael were punished summarily. Here, Yichar Af Elokim Ki Holechu, but that doesn't stop him. He's Holechu. He keeps going. He keeps. And Malach Hashem means an angel that was sent by God, is sent in order to kind of mess up his idea. Shnei Naravimo. Who else had Shnei Naravimo? Avram Avinu, right? He also had Shnei Narim. So this is like a little annoying that Bilam is, you know, literarily keeps pulling us back to Avram Avinu. I mean, how could you make any comparison between the two of them? Rashi, ki holechu, ra'asha hadavar ra be'enei ha'makom, v'nitava lelech. Ra'a shadavar ra be'enei ha'makom. Bilam saw that God was unhappy about this. And he decided to go. With it, like he desired to go. I mean, that was the kind of whatever he could do to annoy God. That's what he chose to do. The Satan lo, the Malach was there. The Satan lo. I mean, the word Satan is obviously not a common word that's used as an obstacle. The Satan lo to be an obstacle in his way. Malach Sharachamim Haya. He was a merciful angel. So what does Rashi say? That Malach is an independent actor. You know, there's God. God is angry. And the Malach shows up in order to modify Bilam's behavior, to mitigate him. Make him more acceptable to God, that he says. So I just go back, and everything will be fine. Sarei Moav, that's L'Satan Lo. Shnei Na'arav Imo. Rashi, Mikan, L'Adam Chashuv, Ayosei L'Aderech, Yolich Imo Shnei Anashim L'Shamsho, V'Chozrim U'Mishamshim Ze Et Ze. Okay, in other words, Rashi doesn't know exactly, doesn't know why the Torah says Shnei Na'arav Imo. I mean, let's imagine Rashi sitting there and asking that question. Why do I have to know that Shnei Na'arav Imo? So Rashi has this trick that he uses whenever he has, not whenever, but often when there is a problem of simple interpretation. Like, why? Why do you need this information? Why do you need this information? So Rashi, when he can, will claim that it has something to do with a moral principle or an ethical position. Right? It doesn't have anything to do with the story per se, but it's important for us for some other reason. So that's what Shnei Ne'arav, what Shnei Ne'arav Imo means. We learn from this that when you go out, when you travel, you have two people go together, and then they can take care of each other. Right? Mishamesh Zedze. Pasukav Gimel. Vatera ha'aton et malach Hashem nitzav, v'aderech nitzav, he's standing tall and straight, v'charbo shlufa b'yado. I don't know where he got a cherev from. Is that like standard equipment for malachim? They all have charavim. But obviously the malach wanted to scare Bil'am, charbo shlufa b'yado, v'teita aton min aderech, v'telech b'sadeh, v'yach Bil'am et aton latotam, so obviously there's something in the play here that's gone awry. It got unstuck because the Malach, according to Rashi, wanted to help out Bilam, wanted to modify Bilam's behavior so that he won't be this object of God's ire. But what was the point if Bilam doesn't see him? I mean, all of a sudden, the Aton becomes Bilam. In other words, you would expect, I would expect, that this story would make sense if Bilam saw the angel trying to stop him from moving along. And it doesn't make any sense to say that the Aton saw Bilam. Saw the angel with the charbon shlufa b'yado, with the sword in his hand. That doesn't make any sense. So what's the Aton got to do with this? What does the Aton have to do with this whole story? Okay, he's riding on an Aton. He's riding along, going to wherever he's going. But why is it that the Aton sees and Bilam doesn't see? So this may be the key to the story. Because after all, prophecy and seeing are synonymous terms in Hebrew, right? Ra'ah, chazah, right? Those are words that are often applied to prophecy. And in this story that we are learning, what's happening is that there's a role reversal between Bilam, who no longer sees, and the Aton, who is like a very lowly animal, you know, has a lot of personality problems, that doesn't quite make it in the world at all. You know, you don't even have Aton races or Aton jumps. Or can you imagine Queen Elizabeth, growing Atonot? You can't imagine it. You can't imagine it. So the Aton is a lot. So here's a story. Here's a story about Bilam. And Bilam doesn't realize what's happened to him. That the vision belongs to the Aton. And Bilam gets it entirely wrong. And this is one of the features that the Rambam talks about. He talks about prophecy in the Bar Nevuchim. He also talks about prophecy in the Arach HaZakah. I guess the Rambam thought that prophecy was important because he felt that Torah was really the result of prophecy, and that everybody potentially had that could become a prophet, and because everybody potentially could become a prophet, somehow that validated the Torah, the existence of the Torah, and the ongoing rule of Torah. And even though he doesn't say this, but later, like the Nefesh HaChaim, you know, they say that the Nefesh HaChaim writes this. Listen to this. He says, you know, people, he thought that learning Torah was very important. Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, that's what learning Torah means according to the Nefesh HaChaim. Right, Rechaim v'lojner, Gemara, Rashi, and Tosos. Make no mistake about it. No mistake about it. You couldn't just learn the Rambam. You had to learn Gemara. it became the norm, right? Learning Gemara, but that was even before the Nevi Shechaim, but learning Gemara became the norm for whatever reason. I mean, you can make any claim for that you want, but there's no doubt that in yeshivot today, let's say what they call in Israel Lithuanian yeshivas or yeshivot kedoshot, by the way, all of the dati le'umi yeshivot are yeshivot kedoshot, except that they go to the army, which makes them less kadosh. But in terms of the curriculum, there's no difference really between the more modern dati le'umi yeshivot and the old style yeshivot. They all focus on Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. Now, Nevi Shechaim says, well, what about chidushim? People in yeshivot are encouraged to say novel things. They say things that have not been said before, to kind of connect things in a novel way. I mean, that's called lamdanut. That you're able not only to know the material, but you're able to say something creative about it. So the Nevi Shechaim asks, sort of asks, doesn't really ask, but it's the question is implied. So the Nevi Shechaim says, so if learning Torah is about getting close to God, which is what he opines, right? That's the whole point of the book, that you learn Torah, you come close to God. Well, how could it be that the Torah you just invented brings you close to God? To which he answers, not only does the Torah bring you, that you invented, brings you closer to God, but if you assume, this is like, you know, a kind of a way of thinking about things, that God is stakel baraito bara alma, that somehow the Torah was, they usually say in English, a blueprint for creation. You know what that might mean? I mean, I don't know what it means, but you know, you get the idea that there's a Torah and there's God, and God wants to create the world, so he looks into the Torah to see how to create the world, right? So this novel idea that you came up with 3,000, 5,000 years after the world was created, so God looks at that novel idea and adds a little creation to the world. How does that sound? You know. In other words, there's no limit to this idea that Talmud Torah is the greatest of the greatest. Right? It even implies that you can affect heaven and the creation of the world by the Torah that you are inventing. How did I get to the Nevi Shechaim? What? I know this. What?
We were talking about the Rambam.
The Rambam said
about the result of prophecy.
The what? What?
Torah was the product of prophecy.
And that prophecy was very important. Yeah.
Right, thank you. The Rambam is like an anchor for this idea about prophecy. Not that he's the only one or the first one or anything else, but he's the anchor because the Rambam became the Rambam. And so everybody knows that prophecy is very important, and that not only is it, in other words, it's not only true that we receive the Torah through prophecy, but it's true according to the Nevi Shechaim that because we're all prophets, we can invent Torah. And when we invent the Torah, God looks down and smiles at us. It says in the Zohar that God kisses the person who... it's as though God kisses the person who invented the Torah and uses that Torah to build another part of the world. Okay, in the Zohar, they talk about a rakia. You know, rakia. Rakia is a word that Kabbalists like a lot because nobody knows what it is. Right, so you can't go wrong, right, whatever you say. So not only is there a rakia, but there are a lot of rakias. You know, there's a lot of, since the rakia, you can't really see the rakia, which divides the upper from the lower, right, so you can have a lot of rakias, since you can't see them. So, So this is what it is. So God makes another rakia, which includes the world as you have formulated with your Chidushei Torah. So what I mean is that here you see that Bilam was robbed. Bilam was robbed of his prophetic ability. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. You can't be a prophet if you don't see. And so Pasuk Kav Gimel. Did we do Pasuk Kav Gimel? Vatere, right? So now we're up to Pasuk. Oh, Chaboshlu Shlofa Biyado. I didn't do the Rashi. Vatere Aton. Vehu lo ra'ah. He, Bilam, did not see. Shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rishut LeBeima Lirot Yoter Min HaAdam. That's the point. Shemitoch Sheyesh Bo Da'at Titaref Da'ato Kishiyireh Mazikin. Okay, Rashi gives an answer, a different answer than I give. But Rashi makes the point. Rashi makes the point that the animal saw and that Bilam did not see. Bilam did not see. And I say it means Bilam was demoted. Bilam was no longer a prophet. Because a prophet is somebody who sees. He may not see all the time. He may not be in a prophetic stupor always and every moment. But if you have the atonement, if you have Bilam and you have a malach, and Bilam doesn't see it, so you could imagine that he is no longer a prophet. Charbo shlufa biyado, his sword, the malach is holding the sword. Amar Rasha zehi meach kli umanoto, shekli zeinam shel umoto olam becheret. Who ba'alehem b'fiv? You see this idea? Amar, I guess the angel, Rashaze, he meakli umanato, he put down his weapon. Shekli zeino shel umoto olam becheret. After all, the nations of the world, how do they fight each other? They by the sword. Who ba'alehem b'fiv? And he was coming against B'nai Yisrael with his mouth. Shehu umanut shelahem. Which is what B'nai Yisrael are good at. They don't mean just stop talking, but they mean, like what Rashi means, is Amal HaTorah. Right? They're able, B'nai Yisrael was able to bring the Torah into the world by sitting and learning, by talking to each other about the Torah. And that was their special ability and talent. Afani et posa shalo, vavo'ala be'umanoto. I will hop his way, the sword, and come with the sword. So that again you have this idea that Bilam recognized the fact that B'nai Yisrael kocham b'peh, that they had the special strength in their mouths because they were a Torah. They were students of the Torah. They were speaking words of the Torah. And so he came with his mouth to beat them. But the story is that the Aton, we'll see in a second, the Aton takes away the mouth as well. First he took away the eyes, right? The eyes of the prophet. And then along comes the Aton. Along comes the Aton. But there Aton in Malach Hashem, Pasuk of Zion. Right? I'm sorry. Pasuk Kafhei. Let's do Pasuk Kafhei. Kafhei. Vatera Aton et Malach Hashem Vatelchatz al Akir Vatelchatz al Rekel Bilam al Akir Vayosev Lahakota. In other words, something happens that is very reasonable for the Aton. The Aton sees the Malach and is frightened, so he does something reasonable. He pushes along to the side. He doesn't want to move forward. But for Bilam, this is unreasonable behavior. This is not the way a standard issue aton is supposed to act. He's supposed to be very placid and friendly. So Rashi said, "Vatilchatz yatzma, vatilachet zacharim v'draglei Bilam." Okay, pasuk kavav, vayosef malach Hashem avor vayamod b'makom tzar asher ein derech lintot yamin u'smol. That's pasuk kavav, that the malach. The Malach stopped at another place, tried to prevent him from moving along. The Pasuk Kavav, Rashi, Yosei Malach Hashem Avor La'avor Od Lifanav La'aloch Liyot Lifanav Makov Achei. He went, he moved ahead in order to stop him in another place. Kimo Hu Avar Lifnehem. Umedrash Agadah Yesh B'Tanchuma. Medrash Agadah Yesh B'Tanchuma. Tanchuma, you know, is one of the Medrashei Agadah on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Tanchuma. Tanchuma is the name of a Tana, right? Rabbi Tanchuma. And it's parallel to the Medrash Rabbah. Right? Medrash Rabbah is on Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Begilot, and the Tanchuma is on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Medrash Rabbah, because it's called Rabbah, is bigger than the Tanchuma. But Rashi knew both of those Medrashim, right? The Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Tanchuma Baal Peh. And he was able to recall them, at all times. He says, Medrash Agadah Yesh B'Tanchuma Mara Ala Amod B'Shalosh Mekomot Simanei Avot Her Ahu. All right, so you know that the Medrash is always looking for Rimazim, sort of like... why is it that the Torah had to tell us that the Malach assumed a position, three different positions? I mean, why did the Torah have to tell us that? It's all the same story. So, though, like, somehow it goes back to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov without explaining it. Pasuk Kav Zayin, okay. So here is like the continuation of the story. The Atan sees and Bilam doesn't see. Then Pasuk Kafchet. Okay? So again you have this transformation. Who speaks? Who has something to say? Who is the one who is going to pass on information to whom? It's the Aton to Bilam. Now it doesn't matter. When we spoke about it at the beginning, it's true, Chazal say that this Aton pre-existed the creation, and so it wasn't a miracle. Okay, it doesn't, that's fine. But what is exactly going on? What is going on? There's Shalosh Regalim. You see Shalosh Regalim? So Rashi, of course, says, Ramazlo, Atam Vakesh Lakor Uma HaChogeget Shalosh Regalim Shana. You're going to undo the people who are going to celebrate three Regalim Bashana. It's worth thinking about what Rashi actually means. Like, what was the idea? What was the idea that the Aton said to Bilam? It was the Aton is a prophet. What do you mean, say Shalosh Regalim? There's no Regalim yet. Nobody going to Yerushalayim. No one is confronting God on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuot. So that the Aton, according to Rashi, is prophesying. It's saying that you don't know who you're dealing with. Which means you're not a prophet. You're supposed to be able to see. You're supposed to be able to choose your enemies. You're supposed to be able to go on the path that is possible. Not on the path that is impossible, but that's what Shalosh... That's what the Shalosh Regalim again. Pasuk Kavtet Vayomi Bilam Laton Kilaltit Alaltabi Lu Yishcher Biyadik Yata Haragtich. So, like, the people with literary sense, right? What happened? He said Lu Yishcher Biyadik. I mean, he goes to show you he's totally out of it, Bilam. Who had a Cher Biyado? The Malach. The Malach, and so by saying Lu Yesh Cher Biyadi, it's like Bilam is saying, boy, I really don't know what's going on. If he would have, he would have said something else. He said, I have Makel, I'm going to beat you. He says, no, he says Cher Biyadi. Like Bilam is admitting or announcing that he doesn't know at all what is going on. Pasuk Lamed Vatomer Aton El Bilam Halo Anochi Atoncha Asher Chavta Alai Meotcha LeYom Hazeh Haiskei Niskanta Lasot LeChakov Hayom Elov. So what does the Aton say to Bilam? What does the Aton say to Bilam? What does the Aton say? Haiskei Niskanta. You see the Rashi Kitagumo, and then there are other Pesuk V'Rabotenu Darshu Mikra Zeba Gemara. Amrele my tama lora chavta susya amalehem beretiva shadai levechule kideita masechet avodah zarah. In other words, why didn't you ride on a horse? You could have. He said, no, it's hotter in the water. So, what is this pasuk? Look at the pasuk again. Vayom patom atonu bilam alor nochi atomcha shrechavta alai meotchadi yom zayis kenis kadi asodah kolkov. What is that? What is it that the Aton is saying? This is not a prophecy. What is the Aton saying? The Aton is saying to Bilam, you know, even if you're not a prophet, and even if you don't see what I see, and even if you don't know that the Malach is standing there with a sword, and all you are is a balabos, but still, you should have realized that there was something wrong. Because, did I ever do this to you? The donkey says. Did I ever do this to you? Did I ever endanger you in this way? So that the donkey is saying to Bilam, you Bilam, you can't see. You Bilam, you can't talk. And you Bilam, as Rashi said, right? You see the first Rashi? Mikadsha sina mikalkelet et ashura. Since you are driven by hate, the hate of the people that you're going to curse, you're not even able to make a reasonable, simple deduction. Not prophecy. A reasonable deduction. That's what the Aton speaking says to says to Bilam. Vayegal Hashem et einei, is that right, pasuk lamed aleph. Vayigal Hashem et einei Bilam vayar malach Hashem yitzav vanav v'chavo shlufa v'yado v'yikod v'yishtachavu la'apav. V'yikod v'yishtachavu la'apav. Vayigal Hashem. Vayigal is a word that describes prophecy, right? Not as often as ra'ah or chaza, but also means prophecy. So suddenly, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned on the television. Click, here it is. Like, this is what you really see, what you're missing out on, what you didn't know about. So Vayigal Hashem, Vayar et Malach Hashem, Nitzav Adem Chabosh Lufa Biyado. He gets the whole thing. Vayikod Vayishtachu La'apav. And he bowed down, realizing that he'd been totally mistaken, right? He didn't see correctly, he didn't speak correctly, he didn't think correctly, right? All of these things are part of the story of Bilam and the Aton. Okay? Lamed Beis. Vayomer Elav Malach Hashem Amai Kita Daton Chad Zeshalosh Regalim Hinei Anoch Yatzati Satan Kirat Aderech Lenegdi. So now again the Malach talks. But the Malach is not talking in a friendly way. You know, there's an example of a Malach having something to do with prophecy, right? You know that the Rambam, in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam divides prophecy into levels. The higher kind of prophecy, the highest prophecy is prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the other prophets sort of divide up. The lowest level of prophecy, according to the Rambam, is the prophecy of Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel was in Babylonia. You know, Daniel and his friends. But he had a surgery. So the book of Daniel has mysterious prophecies in it. In other words, there's a prophecy, but we don't know exactly what that prophecy means. So that Daniel was a prophet who received prophecy, but did not understand the prophecy that he received. Above the prophecy of Daniel, right from the bottom, let's start from the bottom up, but the one above Daniel is the prophecy of Zechariah. Right, remember Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Sof Nevuah, the last three prophets that Am Yisrael had, you know, of prophetic name. Like, the word prophecy is used in different ways, but we're talking about prophecy that makes a prophet, a person into a prophet. So Zechariah had a prophecy, had prophecy. He received information from heaven, but didn't understand what it meant. And then there was a Malach HaDover, there was an angel who explained to Zechariah what the prophecy was. So that prophecy, the prophecy of Zechariah, is considered to be the second from the bottom. Right? He received prophecy, but he didn't understand the prophecy that he received. Here you have something similar, because even the prophecy, even Vayikal Hashem et Einei Bilam, Vayad Malach Hashem Nisab Adem Chavosh Lufa Biyado Veikod Mishtag Blapap Pasuk Lavet Ba Vayoma Elav Malach Hashem Al Mai Keita Datom Chazay Shalosh Rekal. He didn't understand. He still didn't understand. He, Bilam, the Raya is that the prophet has to explain it, the Malach Hashem has to explain it to him. He's like the Malach of Zechariah, even though there's nothing to explain. I mean, once you see the Malach standing there with the sword, you understand. But he explains it to him, right? Malach Hashem, Malkida Adon Chazeh Shalosh Regalim Inyok Inzad Im Satan Kirat Aderech LeNigdi Pasuk Lamed Gimel Vater Ani Aton Vateit Lefanai Zeh Shalosh Regalim Olay Natav Vanek Ata Gamot Chaharakti. Right? So again, Gabotcha Harakti, Rashi, Lainatta, Molule, Lule. I skip the Rashis, which are just about language or words. Gabotcha Harakti, Areze Mikra Misaras. Rashi has this idea of a Mikra Misaras. Vukimo Gam Harakti Otcha. Right, in other words, Rashi says that in the Chumash Hebrew, the reasonable word order is not always maintained. But in order to understand the phrase, you have to move the words around. The Rashi thought that was reasonable. In other words, he doesn't say, "Oh, it's a Mikra Misaras, so there must be some hidden meaning here." I mean, there are famous ones which I just can't. They don't want to come out of my head right now. I'm sure that when I'm talking about something else, Vayarom told the Vayivash. Remember that in Bishalach, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, says to Bnei Israel, "Here's the man." Everybody takes as much man as they need, and on Friday you take twice as much. It's for Friday and Shabbos, right? That's what. So if you took too much man, you didn't trust the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu about the man, but you started hoarding the man, thinking that maybe tomorrow there wouldn't be any. So what happened to that man was that it turned bad. It became rancid. You weren't able to. The Torah describes that as Vayarom Tolaim Vayivash. Those are the words that are used. It became wormy, and it became Vayivash, unpleasant somehow. Vayarom Tolaim Vayivash. So everybody says there's something wrong, because Vayivash comes before Vayarom Tolaim. Like, Vayarom Tolaim is a very advanced kind of mess. Like, if you leave the meat out of your in the heat, just sitting outside on your porch or something, it'll become rancid before it becomes wormy. At least that's, I mean, not that I know, nothing like that ever happened in my house, but I mean that's what all the before should say, that the Pasuk should have said, Vayivash, Vayarom Tolaim. So some of Rashi say, oh, so you see, it was a miracle. That was the point. But Rashi says, no, just move the words around. Still, it, you know, you say the word, it should really be Vayivash, Vayarom Tolem. Okay, so we'll say it that way. Rashi is not bothered in a manner similar to the fact that Rashi is not bothered by Mukdam Muchar Batorah, right? Right? Not bothered by chronological development. Right? So Rashi is also not bothered by Sarseyu Parsheyu, that you have to switch the order of the words around. You can make a little bit something out of that, but okay, so where am I now? Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayomer Bilam en Malach Hashem Chatati, Ki Lo Yadati, Ki Ata Nitzav Likrati Baderech, Ata Rabbi Einecha, Ashuv Ali. So you see that Bilam still doesn't get it. Right? Imra Be'einecha, Ashuv Ali. If this is the wrong thing, if you think this is the wrong, well, of course he thinks it's the wrong thing. What's he doing there with a sword and stopping him for the donkey from moving forward? But he doesn't think that. So Rashi says in Rabbi Necha Shuvali, you see the second line in Pasuk Lamed Daled, Rashi, Latris Neged Hamakom Shuvazo. This is like an overt statement against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar lo, hu ba'atzmot tzivani lelechet. V'ata malach mevatel et dvarav. He says, you know, God told me I could go. And you, the malach, are coming to deny that? Lamud hu bekach, sh'omer davar o malach machziro. Right? So that sometimes God says something and the malach changes it. Amar l'Avraham, kachna et bincha, V'aydei malach batel et divaro, afani imra beinecha, tzarich ani lashuv. It's all right, I don't want to get into this. This is a good Rashi. Too good for right now. Right, that's the end. One more pasuk, v'yomer malach Hashem el Bil'am lechem anashim, v'evesit the devar she'edaber lech oto didaber v'yelech Bil'am im sarei balak. So you understand that this was the issue. Lechim anashim, Rashi. See Rashi, but derech she'adam rotzeh lelech bo molichim oto. A person is allowed to go the way he wants to go, even if it seems like a bad idea. Lechim anashim, ki chalkecha imachem, v'sovcha la'abed min ha'olam. Alright. I think that that's the story. I think that that's the story of Bilam and the Aton. The story of Bilam and the Aton is that Bilam was robbed of, everything was taken away from him. Right? He couldn't see, he couldn't speak, and he couldn't think rationally. And it was in those conditions that Bilam became a conduit for God's bracha to Bnei Yisrael and to other nations as well. Those Bilam ceased to be an independent actor. He was not able, he wasn't even able to avoid saying the prophecy that God sort of like gave him. He couldn't avoid it. He could only say it. He had no will. He was left with no will, but he was an evil person. The fact of the matter is, as you see in the parasha of Balak, that Bilam won. Right? Bilam won because at the end, he figured out that it wasn't through bracha and klala that he would be able to subdue Bnei Yisrael, but it was through getting the Midianite women to kind of infiltrate the camp of Israel, and they did that. And they did, and they wreaked havoc with, so that the Aton disappears from the story, and Bilam becomes an Aton. He's only able to follow instructions. That's who he is. He is no longer the Bilam who saw, who spoke, who thought. All of that is gone. and he becomes the Aton that he was riding off into the desert. The brachot and the klalot, or the brachot that he gave as prophecy, had nothing to do with his own will. He was unable. He was unable to even speak his mind at all. So that's the story of the Aton. There's a picture of the Aton here on the back of the sheet. But I want to just say one thing. The Nachash, you see, if you turn the page, the pasuk says, "Anachash yaru mikol chayat asadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim." The Nachash, the snake, was Arum. Arum, Rashi, Manyan Zelikan. Why does the Torah start telling us about this? Ayalo lismoch, vayas adam ladam v'yishtok ketonet or God not or v'yal v'shem. Ela lametcha me'ezo ila kafat Nachash alehem ra'ah otam arumim v'oskim b'tashmish. Okay, there's some kind of story about the Nachash, why the Nachash wanted to mess things up. What is the next Rashi? Arum, Mikol Chayatas Arum, Lefei Armato Vegedulato, Aita Mapalato, Arum Mikol, Arum Mikol. So that's, again, if you look at Pasuk Yud Dalet, you see the end of the column. Vayomer Hashem Elokim el Nachash. This is the punishment that the Nachash receives. Ki asita zot aru ata mikol abeima mikol chayat asadeh agochoncha telech vafat ochal kol yemei chayecha ya aru veiva ashit beincha uvein aisha bein zara bein zara hu yisuncha rosh. So what does Rashi say? The Rashi above. Arum mikol, lefi ormato ugedulato aitam mapalato. Arum mikol. What is the punishment of the snake have to do with whatever the snake did? So I just wanted to point out that it seems to me, you know, the Jews have long agreed that we have free will. They haven't always agreed about what that means. But the Rambam, for example, says we have the free will to accept the Torah, to reject the Torah. Like I don't have the free will to become a concert violinist. Even though for some time my mother, Zichrono Lebracha, thought that I did. I'm not sure what the basis of that thinking might have been, but there's no doubt it was misplaced. So you have free will of certain things, but you don't have free will about everything. And there are many things that you have to accept. You have to be able to accept yourself. In order to have free will, God in the world, God created the world, he had to create certain kind of features of human existence. So one of them was anava, humility. It says in the pasuk, Naseh Adam b'tzalmeinu k'dmoteinu, right? Remember, let us make man. Let us make man. And so the Mefarshim all ask, who's the we? Who's the us? Who's us? And so the us is Tzvaot HaShamayim, right, the heavenly court. So God had to talk to the heavenly court about making man. God wanted to create man, so God created man. So the Rashi says, Anvetanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi. It is the humility of God that is represented in this pasuk. That God said, Naseh Adam b'tzalmeinu, but he didn't have to say, Naseh. He could have said, I am making man. What is that? We are making man. Anava. So, of course, the way I understood that, or I think it should be understood, is not that God is humble. Rather, that God did this in the creation of man to create humility. To create humility. We know about it because we have to understand that humility is a great human trait. Humility is a great human trait. We have Moshe Rabbeinu writing this on Av Mikol Adam, etc. Now there's another human trait. Arum, deceitful, the ability to misrepresent things, which is apparently necessary for free will. If you cannot create a mistaken impression, then you can't do the wrong thing. If you only know the right thing to do, then you can't do the wrong thing. So what God created Orma, He put it into the Nachash. He put it into the Nachash hoping that the Nachash would not be able to affect Adam and Chava with the Orma. But he did. The Nachash said, what was the argument of the Nachash? When God said, don't do this, He didn't mean, don't do this. He meant, it's okay to do this, nothing bad will happen. Right? In other words, the Nachash said unacceptable pshat in God's words. And that is what created the free will. Free will that we have. The free will to think badly about things. To mess up what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be doing. And we hope that we're able to correct it. You know, people think badly, but then after time, things work out, like in science. Science is a good example. A lot of false starts, but eventually science is usually able to correct itself, to resolve its issues. So that's what Orma is. Orma is the bad shot, and Adam and Chava fell for it. And that proved that they were infected by free will. And then Eva Ashit Pasuk Tedvav, Eva Ashit Beincha Uvein Aisha. The punishment for the snake was, for the Nachash was, that there wouldn't be any relationship between the snake in the future and people. Right? The Orma that was inherited by Adam and Chava was that limited Orma that had to do only with that case. So even though I'm short, I've maybe spoken too briefly about the Nachash, what we think we see is that sometimes as either a literary or a real device, right? And as the Rambam says, that the Adon never happened. It's all like, you know, the Rambam was like that. Whenever something in the Torah didn't make sense, he said it was imaginary. One of the things that the Rambam liked to do, or he felt very confident about, that there were things that were just not reasonable as far as he was concerned, so they were imaginary. Which made sense to him because his understanding of philosophy included imagination. Imagination was a big subject. So you see that the Aton, I think, that in the play about Bilam, right? The play about Bilam, we see that Bilam lost in this process. He lost everything that he had that made him special, right? Remember the Medrash says that God allowed Bilam to be a prophet so that the nations of the world wouldn't say, well, we had a prophet, we would be very good people. But he lost it, and they lost it, and Balak lost it because Balak was fighting for Bilam to be the old Bilam. And with the Nachash speaking was that he was able to create a situation with the Orma, this kind of bad shot, and things became part of the tradition that we live with. We're always fighting against the wrong shot and trying to get a more reasonable kind of shot. Okay, have a good Shabbos.